All right, I'm going to go ahead and get started. My name is Eric Golpe. Welcome. Thank you for joining this session. We're going to talk about security, privacy, and compliance with the Cortana Analytics suite of services. As you are aware, a lot of the Cortana Analytics services runs on top of Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure. So you'll hear me talk about Azure quite a bit and some of our data centers and various aspects. I'm going to take questions at the end, so please, as we go along, just jot down notes for yourself so that we can come back to any questions that you may have during the presentation. So I'm going to start off with a little bit of background. I've been at Microsoft for about 7 years now. I've been in software for 17 years. I've been an architect, a software developer, program manager, all of those various years. I've worked on the Azure side for about 5.5, 6 years since we started Azure. So I'm very detailed in a lot of the capabilities on our platform. Our team, the customer advisory team, is charged with getting engineering guidance back into our engineering team, as well as customer-focused guidance out to customers in our field that's working with a lot of the enterprises today that are consuming Azure services. So with that, we're going to jump right in. We have a lot to cover. Microsoft has cloud principles which will apply to the Cortana Analytics services as well as to the Microsoft Cloud as a whole, which encompasses different services like Office 365, Azure, Dynamics, you may be aware. So we're going to look at some of the pillars of those cloud principles today. We're going to talk about security, privacy and control, transparency, and what Microsoft provides to our customers, as well as compliance. We have decades-long experience in building out enterprise software and running some of the largest online services in the world. We've leveraged a lot of that learning into our capabilities in the cloud. And in managing those data centers, we've built Azure from the ground up, starting with a very secure software development lifecycle, and building in security controls and processes and requirements into every aspect of the cloud platform. For privacy, we have more than 240 million user accounts in companies and organizations across 127 countries. So we take privacy very seriously from the ground up as well. You'll find the Microsoft Online Services Privacy Statement describing specific privacy policies and practices that cover a lot of our customers' data that ends up in the Azure ecosystem. Control for us is very critical for a lot of our data workloads and answering questions on how you won't lose control of your data, where your data will be stored, how will you manage that particular data, how will you get control over that data. Our commitment is unique amongst the major cloud providers, and we want to ensure that our customers have a fair amount of control around a lot of the data services that we provide. For compliance, we invest heavily in development and robust and innovative compliance processes. The compliance framework that we have for online services maps controls to multiple regulatory standards, and we'll talk about some of those standards as we go ahead. And we have a range of regulations that are in play across various entities all throughout those 127 countries where we operate our data centers. So for Cortana Analytics, specifically the suite of services that come with it, some of those services are in preview today. They are not yet adhering to all of our compliance practices because they're still going through that preview process. And generally, once we put a service into general availability, we'll ensure that those privacy commitments and those compliance frameworks that service adheres to is published. And one of the major places you can go to figure that out is on our Azure.com site. We have an area under the support that's called the Trust Center. And I'll refer to the Azure Trust Center quite a bit because that's where we put a lot of guidance around our security, privacy, and compliance practices. Drawing on our history and scale, we share this knowledge with government and commercial organizations, and we have broad security efforts that encompass things like the Digital Crimes Unit, our Security Response Center, our Microsoft Malware Protection Center. Our Cortana Analytics Suite itself helps customers achieve these higher levels of security, privacy, and compliance by exposing those capabilities of our services to our customers so you can build on that and leverage the expertise there. However, each customer environment that Cortana Analytics services are provisioned upon is isolated on top of Azure's infrastructure, which is a shared physical environment. So we protect Azure's infrastructure on top of which a lot of the virtual environments and services are hosted. The security and monitoring that happens from a platform perspective are to contain abuse and widespread customer risk containment to ensure that we're lowering the customer risk by taking a broad approach to security, privacy, and compliance across all of our services. But customers must step up to the plate and protect their own virtual environments as well. Things like securing and monitoring your own virtual environments, responding to abuse alerts from our Azure Safeguard notification services, notifying us before you do pen testing. There's various responsibilities that customers have. You can see in the slide here, there are some of these bullet points that are blued. And so things, if I'm approaching it as infrastructure as a service, for example, versus software as a service, Azure ML is a combination. It's software as a service, for example, where you're actually able to go in and do things like predictive R queries right on the web interface. But it's also platform as a service because you're going to expose different data entry points and different data repositories to the Azure ML service, for example. In that case, you may be responsible for securing the middleware or the runtime if you're bringing, for example, your own virtual machine with the data on it to Azure ML. Right? If I'm just using the Azure Blob storage and presenting that to Azure ML, then applications, data, runtime, middleware, OS are all part of the security capabilities where we provide services. So it's a joint effort between Microsoft and its customers to really approach security, privacy, and compliance in many respects. We design for security from the ground up, as I mentioned. Our code development for the Cortana Analytics Suite and Azure in general adheres to what we call our Microsoft Security Development Lifecycle. The SDL is a development process that helps developers build more secure software and address security compliance requirements while reducing your development cost. And the SDL became central to our development practices a decade ago, and it's shared freely with our enterprise customers. You can actually pick up guidance around the security development lifecycle and implement that throughout your organizations. We enhance the rigorous set of security controls that we have around operations and support to our other online services like Office 365. And we have a Microsoft Operational Security Assurance Group that identifies risks and shares information so that we can prevent, detect, contain, and respond to operational security threats. And that prevent, detect, contain, and respond is very much in line with the approaches that we take as the SDL dictates. You'll see us talk about that quite a bit as we go throughout this talk. And how we actually go and respond or prevent or detect various security threats. We also have an assume breach mentality. This is one key operational best practice that Microsoft uses to harden its cloud services, and that strategy has a dedicated red team of software security experts that simulate real-world attacks on our network, our platform, and our app layers, and we test Azure's ability to detect, protect against, and recover from those breaches. That team works 24/7. Microsoft can stay ahead of emerging threats this way, and we actually ensure that learning and those practices gets appropriately funneled to the various response centers so that enterprises can make use of that proven practice. We have a global 24/7 incident response service that helps mitigate the attacks and malicious activity that occurs against our platform every day. That team follows an established procedure for incident management, communication, and recovery, and uses discoverable and predictable interfaces for internal and external partners alike. The monitoring that we employ helps manage the large amount of information generated by a lot of devices and services throughout the Azure environment. Azure offers a very centralized monitoring and analytics system, of which the Cortana Analytics Suite is also a key part of, that provides continuous visibility and timely alerts to teams who manage the service. So although you're just learning about Cortana Analytics capabilities through this workshop, we've actually been using it for quite some time in our security practices. The Microsoft Threat Intelligence Center is our industry-leading team of security researchers who works to identify and mitigate various threats online. So I want to talk a little bit about some of these key areas. We take a two-prong approach to threat defense, which is referred to in our world as prevent breach and assume breach. With preventing breach, it's a defensive strategy aimed at predicting and preventing security breaches. So we do things like port scanning and remediation, perimeter vulnerability scanning, OS patching to our hypervisor hosts, network level DDoS, that's distributed denial of service, detection and prevention, and we do have multi-factor auth throughout all of our service backplane behind the scenes. The assume breach strategy, as opposed to the prevent breach strategy, and this is what is quite unique to Microsoft at this time as a cloud provider, is a key operational practice that helps us harden our cloud services. The red team will simulate real-world attacks at the network platform and app layers, and then we have a blue team that detects, protects against, and recovers from those attacks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We identify and eject attackers, limiting what access an attacker has access to and would have if various layers were breached. We do this through techniques like segregation of duties, how quickly we can restore the environments in the event of a breach, so bringing those BCDR capabilities into play, and then by constantly challenging the security capabilities of the service. We can stay ahead of emerging threats and be prepared to quickly act against those threats as they are identified. So let's dig deeper into the Cortana Analytics Suite services and how you can actually secure some of those. You'll see that while security is an ongoing effort and combines a lot of experienced and qualified personnel, a lot of software and hardware technologies, and a lot of robust processes, you really have a multi-dimensional approach to securing our online services, of which Cortana Analytics is a key part of. It starts in our facilities where we have robust physical security controls, things like video surveillance and two-factor authentication and actual security personnel patrolling the premises. And then you move towards access control monitoring and things like file data integrity. How do I do CRC checking on a file? Make sure that actually came from where I expected it to through signature validation, into the infrastructure that we provide for Cortana Analytics services in the application space. We are hoping that a lot of our enterprise customers adopt similar practices through the security development lifecycle capabilities and guidance that we've actually published that you can get to at the SDL site. It's actually microsoft.com/SDL is a very quick entry point to that guidance. There's some control domains, and here are some examples of those, where we actually do things like multiple layering of security. So vulnerability management is one of those areas where we have multiple layers of automatically updated antivirus protection, which is utilized to protect against malicious code entering our systems, but also where we do things like anomaly detection, so we can detect anomalies and anomalous activity or deviations from a baseline configuration that may be indicative of a suspected compromise. And then we can ramp up and actually watch that area of the service. So we also do a lot of training and awareness. Everyone in the Azure team goes through internal training on security. They're required to do so. We have formalized training for all of our engineers, test and program managers, including design and coding standards, which are mandatory. Physical access as well is by job function. We have things like badge and card reader restricted access, biometrics, on-premise security officers, continuous video surveillance, et cetera. We control all of our framework, which is ranked and marked for review, through a program we call cycle testing. So that's an ongoing program. It doesn't stop, right? As the threat emerges, we actually step up to the plate and emerge with those threats. So our infrastructure, of which Cortana Analytics Suite runs on, benefits from a lot of the infrastructure protection for the Azure platform as a whole. The Azure infrastructure includes hardware, software, administrative and operational staff, and physical data centers. We address the security risks for our infrastructure with things like continuous intrusion detection and prevention, denial of service attack prevention, regular penetration testing, and forensics tools. And a lot of these results get published into our compliance controls. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we get into compliance. We have 24-hour-a-day monitored physical security around the data centers. There's monitoring and logging that is centralized. We can correlate and use analytic systems to manage the large amount of information that's generated by the devices throughout the Azure environments. Our software update management helps us to deploy security patches, which protect systems from known vulnerabilities. This happens through the use of similar software for what you could actually use in your own VMs. So customers can apply that similar update management process for virtual machines deployed on Azure, or you can elect to have us patch it on a regular basis. And so depending on where you play, if you remember the prior slide, when I say by play, you're likely going to be a platform as a service in some areas, you may be software as a service in some areas, and you may be a full infrastructure play on our virtualized cloud. You have the ability to actually leverage a lot of the capabilities around update management that the platform provides, or you can go ahead and roll your own updates out and be responsible for that. It's like story with our antivirus and anti-malware protection. Our Azure software components must go through virus scans prior to deployment. So every VM that we bring up, we go through virus scanning for that code. We don't move code to production without it being clean and successful virus scanning. We also do the same thing on the malware side. We recommend that customers run some form of anti-malware or antivirus on all virtual machines which you would deploy on the platform. You can install things like Microsoft Endpoint Protection or other antivirus solutions on the VMs. But this is actually something that's very critical to folks who are doing a lot of predictive analysis and data engineering, is that you have to ensure what you're presenting to the services is free of viruses and anti-malware from the get-go, or you can actually go ahead and taint your own systems. So this is something to be cognizant of when you're talking about the actual security of the environments and how you would actually go ahead and lock those down. For penetration testing, we conduct regular pen testing to improve our security controls and processes. Customers can carry out automated penetration testing on their own applications hosted on the Microsoft Azure platform. We don't disallow customers from doing that. We just ask that you notify us, and it's actually pretty simple to notify us. You can just go on the Azure portal and create a support ticket. There's actually an area there where you can let us know that you're going to do some type of security or pen testing, or even load testing for that example. The key benefits of a lot of our monitoring and alerts are that we can correlate and feed that information into an analytics system. That large amount of continuous visibility and timely alerting that happens allows our teams to manage a lot of what happens on the Cortana Analytics services that will be brought to bear by your teams. We have additional monitoring, logging, and reporting capabilities that also provides visibility to our customers, areas like audit, which I'll demonstrate later, through our Azure portal. and some other areas. So Azure performs the monitoring and alerting of security events for the platform itself, and we enable security data collection via monitoring agents or Windows event forwarding on those various service machinery that's working behind the scenes. But customers do need to configure their own monitoring. You need to be able to export events to maybe a SQL database or to HD Insight or other security intrusion and event monitoring system for analysis. And you also need to actually be proactively monitoring alerts that might come in or other types of security reporting. So we have some really cool security reporting baked into the platform. How many of you have actually worked with the Azure platform? See a show of hands. So quite a fair amount. How many of you have worked with Azure Active Directory? Anyone? Great, another fair amount. So we actually have some really cool Azure Active Directory reports that are available. And if you've seen those, a lot of those leverage the analytics that you actually have access to now as part of the Cortana Analytics services that are deployed. And then you also need to respond to incidents that might occur and be able to have a formalized process around how you actually respond to those incidents. It's definitely helpful in managing your services. For update management, we do apply regularly scheduled updates to the platform. We utilize a very integrated deployment system that's managed all of our distribution and installation of those security updates. We work with the Microsoft Security Response Center to identify when patch releases are required and apply those releases either immediately or during a scheduled release cycle based on the severity. The Azure team usually gets notified as well by the Security Response Center, as well as what we call our online security services and compliance teams, upon identification of any updates which are applicable to our environment and need to occur. And our engineering teams will address those immediately. We also include notification when we actually do the latest patch releases. So you'll see us actually publish the information around what we've put out into our environment in terms of patching. We work with the MSRC and evaluate those patch releases to determine the impact and the applicability to our customers and to the environment as a whole. The patching process includes what we call a software security incident response process program, which helps us expedite those patches for more immediate release when it's necessary. We have a change process in play to modify the underlying operating system within the platform. All changes are reviewed and tested at minimum for their quality, performance, impact on other systems, and recovery objectives. And we move those patches into production using the actual Azure release processes. So we have an established test window for reviewing and testing those new features, and then changes to any existing features or patches are also implemented as needed. For customers, you can actually make use of various technologies with Microsoft System Center, for example, to actually manage your patches and updates as well, or you might be on Intune or other cloud services that we also run and manage in the same way. So let's talk a little bit about antivirus and anti-malware in a little bit more depth. So for Azure, we perform the monitoring and alerting of security events on the platform, as I've mentioned, but we also ensure that as part of our internal build and deployment, everything goes through the virus scanning and anti-malware scanning that's available to us. We enable real-time protection, on-demand scanning, and monitoring via Microsoft anti-malware for cloud services and for the virtual machines. So for the cloud services that would actually be brought to bear for a lot of the Cortana Analytics capability, so for example, if I'm using Azure Stream Analytics, how many of you use Stream Analytics? So a few of you in the room. So if I'm actually using Stream Analytics to do real-time analysis of queries that are flowing through a pipeline, a messaging pipeline, and I actually want to make sure that service has anti-malware and antivirus running through it, well, it's already running on those cloud machines. It's something that Azure brings to the table. But if you are bringing your own process, for example, maybe you're using Storm and, you know, spouting things through that process, then that virtual machine that you might have that deployed on has to also have some type of anti-malware or antivirus. And we recommend that you would use Microsoft anti-malware or an AV AM solution from a partner. We have an Azure Marketplace where we actually do surface a lot of certified or tested components and services from our partners, and you have the opportunity as well to develop your own services and place those out on the marketplace. We monitor all of the events that happen on our own system, but for your own anti-malware and antivirus, you also would need to extract those events into a security intrusion and event monitoring system that can alert you of those notifications that you need to actually address and respond to as an incident. For added assurance, you can also routinely re-image machines by cleaning out any intrusions that might have happened or gone undetected. So you might have a regular program of re-imaging machines without even knowing if there was an intrusion on them. The fact that we give you the ability to quickly re-image and redeploy code in these types of virtualized cloud environments is a real enhancement to a lot of security practices that we've seen enterprises using. So here's an overview of how we provide threat detection. I'm not going to go into all of the details of our system because obviously we don't want to give away all of our trade secrets. But we do provide big data analysis on our logs for intrusion detection and prevention of the platform. If anomalous activity is detected, our teams are notified and threats are mitigated through the incident response process, which I mentioned earlier. We employ denial of service attack prevention measures for the platform as well through the same process. We use standard detection and mitigation techniques such as SYN cookies, rate limiting, connection limits to prevent DDoS attacks to our platform. And we're also doing the pen testing, which I mentioned earlier as well. You can also add extra layers of prevention by deploying additional controls into your environment, including things like web application firewalls from some of our partners, or conducting pen tests of your own applications to detect where vulnerabilities might exist. So that threat protection is actually an area of the security development lifecycle, which is constantly being enhanced for our learnings from our cloud services. We have a defense in system in place for Cortana Analytics operating on the platform as a whole. There are more DDoS attacks than ever before, and they vary very widely. So I always get this question from a lot of enterprise customers, like, can you protect me wholly from a DDoS attack? And the answer is obviously no, because there's so many different types of attacks. We defend you automatically from certain types of attacks, but obviously not all of them. So our defense system here is designed to not only withstand attacks from the outside, but also from within. And so we realize that a lot of these attacks mutate. They're very highly targeted. They're usually generic and either long or very short in duration. They can be carrying things like web servers that carry bots. There are application attacks which are often targeting financial systems or can provide exponential performance attacks so that the performance decreases for a company over time. We have a defense system that uses those standard protection and mitigation techniques that I previously mentioned. But we also benefit the DDoS applications themselves. Because it's still possible for applications to be targeted individually, we can detect and respond to those attacks and then bring that back out to the platform as a whole so that all of our customers benefit on the cloud platform. So this is something that actually benefits you from operating your analytics up in the cloud, because you might be protected from zero-day attacks or exploits in a much richer fashion than your competitors who are not on the cloud platform. So we do architect the services for multi-tenancy from the get-go. In fact, a lot of the Cortana Analytics services are very secure and have multi-tenant capabilities engineered throughout. We have a Azure Fabric Controller, which functions sort of as our kernel of the Azure platform, managing a lot of our resources as needed. That Fabric Controller provisions, stores, delivers, monitors, and commands a lot of the VMs and physical servers that make up our Azure customer environments and the infrastructure which we deploy to. We design to abstract much of the infrastructure that typically underlies applications. So servers, operating systems, web and database software, and so on. You'll hear us talk about microcontainers and microservices. We really want developers to focus on building the applications and not managing the resources. And this comes to our data scientists. We really want you to focus on the data science, not having to manage all the infrastructure and the types of data repositories that you might have had to deal with in the past. The goal is to provide a very secure, consistent, scalable set of resources for each customer to do data science on and manage that through various subscriptions that they can provision and associate with a Microsoft account or an organizational account. We'll talk about the differences as we go. The set of Azure technologies that isolates and contains each customer environment contain our Fabric Controller, which is that central brain that secures and isolates a lot of our customer environments, as well as our host operating systems, which actually are configuration hardened versions of Windows Server. And then our hypervisors themselves emanate from the same code base as Hyper-V that came out of Windows Server 2012, which has been battle tested and proven in enterprise environments worldwide. So our guest VMs sit on top of those host hypervisors, and can either be Windows Server or they could be Linux variants. The customer controls the VMs, which we call guest VMs, and then guests that run on them are our guest OSs on top of those VMs. So that's some of the nomenclature, which I'll talk to as we talk about how some of the services are brought to bear. We also block unauthorized traffic to and from the Microsoft data centers using very rigorous firewall technologies. We have a variety of technologies, not just the firewalls themselves, but we also do things like partition local area networks and physical separation of back-end servers from public-facing interfaces. Our Azure virtual networks use a combination of logical isolation, firewalls, access control, authentication, as well as encryption capabilities to protect customer data that's in transit. The mechanism for administrators to manage network security on their Azure private networks is in the access layer of the Azure cloud service, which is comparable to the edge of a corporate network that faces the internet. That cloud access layer includes a firewall, a load balancer, and network address translation functionality managed by the customer administrator. So not only can you create your own virtualized networks to place a lot of your own virtual machines in, you can make use of the Cortana Analytics services that are deployed today within the cloud environment, and then manage the security to and from those services through very heightened firewall and access control policies that sit on that edge. Azure restricts access from the internet and permits traffic only to endpoints, and we provide load balancing in NAT at that cloud access layer. We also isolate traffic and provide intrusion defense through distributed firewalls. From the customer side, you would generally apply corporate firewall using things like site-to-site VPN or configuring endpoints or access controls between the logical tiers of your applications and provide additional protection with OS firewalls that are deployed on the platform. So when using the services, how many of you have used Azure SQL Database? Quite a few of you. So you'll hear a lot of us talk about Azure SQL Database and the data warehousing capabilities, right? One of the key first things that you have to do when you actually use an Azure SQL Database is you actually have to go ahead and configure the firewall endpoints. And so that's just one example of how we actually ubiquitously throughout our services bring to bear a lot of the capabilities of what we do behind the scenes in firewall and authentication mechanisms and so on and so forth. Sorry, my laptop's catching up to us. For identity and access, we enable customers to have better access control in a multi-tenant environment through a few key pillars. We have things like an enterprise cloud directory, which we call Azure Active Directory, that offers comprehensive identity and access management solutions. It combines core directory services, identity governance, security, application access management. There's a whole suite of SDKs. So that you can actually employ features for policy-based identity management into your own applications. You can use things like Active Directory Premium to provide additional features to meet your identity and access needs of the enterprise. We have multi-factor authentication that's also available. In fact, there's a not only the core multi-factor authentication capabilities that are baked into the Azure platform as a service, but you could actually leverage a multi-factor authentication server and get a whole host of even customized capabilities out into your enterprise. That helps to monitor access patterns and proactively identify and mitigate potential threats. We use it internally. You'll see I'm going to demo to you just key management and key rollover in the Azure portal, and you'll see I'll have to multi-factor auth into that environment because I'm not sitting on our corporate network right now. I'm on a wireless network that's available to us. And so you'll actually see it in practice. We also have single sign-on, which a lot of end users want, but they want in a very secure and convenient way to access their data and applications. So Azure AD, along with a variety of supported third-party apps, streamlines that authentication process for users with corporate credentials by providing a single sign-on option across multiple applications and services. Now, I will say that we are in preview with some of the services that are surfaced through the Cortana Analytics. So you're not going to find that we have ubiquitous single sign-on on all of those services, but you will find that the majority of them do have single sign-on capabilities leveraging our Azure Active Directory services behind the scenes. We can also integrate with customer applications, and we do that using different capabilities of software as a service, as well as other providers to make authentication easier for users. Things like OAuth and other security token service baselines can be brought to bear in your applications. So if you're using, for example, a lot of enterprises today use Kerberos tokens and you need to extend that out to your applications, you can still do that. We have capabilities in Azure AD to make that happen. We would prefer that you use modern authentication and access capabilities such as OAuth and OpenID or other types of security and access control, but you have the choice, right? You can do what you'd like. For our access monitoring and logging, you'll find that Azure uses a lot of password hashes for synchronization. We do encrypted password hashes, which means that we do not store user passwords for synchronized scenarios. We also offer a security reporting that tracks inconsistent traffic patterns, such as sign-ins from unknown sources, multiple failed sign-ins, sign-ins from multiple geographies in very short time frames. So if I'm in Florida, like 5 minutes ago, and I'm logging in here in Redmond, it's going to get flagged. It's going to get flagged very fast. So sign-ins from suspicious IP addresses and suspicious devices can also be reported on, and a lot of that has to do with how we do the actual password hashing and management on the platform. So you'll find that having a very secure place to store password hashes, which I'll call a secret, or other types of keys, is very critical to success of a lot of applications. We're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail as I go. We also have an incident response mechanism, which I mentioned. The security controls and risk management processes that Microsoft has in place to secure cloud infrastructure reduces the risk of our security incidents. But in the event that an incident occurs, we have a security incident management team, we call them the SIM team, within the Microsoft Online Security Services and Compliance Division that operates 24 hours a day, every day, to respond to critical incidents that happen on the platform. The SIM's mission is to quickly and accurately assess and mitigate these computer security incidents involving any Microsoft Online service while managing the necessarily internal and external communications that have to happen. This is a 9-step process, and when events are detected, that process gets kicked off and focuses first on containment and recovery. The customer notification is a key part of this process. We provide coordination of forensic analysis, evaluation of logs, and VHD images in the event of a platform-level incident, and Azure also works with customers to provide log data and help them respond to threats. One of the key jobs of my team, the Azure Customer Advisory Team, is not only to prevent guidance and how to respond to an incident, but also areas of Azure where we might not be providing you enough information. So if you find that we don't have logging in a particular area, we absolutely want to know about it. You know, it's not meant to be an opaque black box for you. But there are some things that you might be notified about which you might not have control over. And if you don't have control over, you know, there's a growth process, a maturity process in the enterprise today where enterprises have had a lot of control over things. And so when they do get an incident, they know how to respond within their own enterprise. That sort of goes away because you're relying on Microsoft for a lot of that. And so this formalized incident response process is critical to actually responding to those incidents and making sure that all of our customers can benefit from that. We also make contractual commitments regarding customer notification. And you'll see that in a lot of the, when you sign up for Azure services, it's actually placed out in our contractual commitments and obligations that you'll see during the sign-up process. Microsoft is unique amongst the major cloud providers in providing cloud service-specific privacy statements as well. We recognize how critical data privacy is to enabling our customers to move to the cloud, and we make standard contractual clauses available for things like the EA. The European Union has EA model clauses. You might have heard of those. But we make a lot of those critical privacy and data commitments in those types of clauses that are available for various directives and organizations. So let me make an example of that. I might have the EU data protection directive that's applicable to EMEA customers, but I also have things like US HIPAA laws to deal with. And so they all call for safeguarding personal data, having very strengthened data privacy through technical, operational, and legal protections that exist. And so you'll see Microsoft make a very strong commitment around these areas to privacy. We have a trustworthy foundation, and this is an overview of that trustworthy foundation that is a very key component to our privacy areas. We have something called Privacy Domain by Design, which is in support of our cloud services to help our customers comply with their own requirements by addressing robust privacy and security requirements. The Privacy by Design has been invested in heavily over many years to what we believe is one of the strongest privacy programs in the industry. The program has a ground-up approach to it means different things to different people, but here at Microsoft, Privacy by Design describes not only how we build the products, but also how we operate our services and how we organize ourselves to be an accountable technology leader. We have a Microsoft Privacy Standard, an MPS, which governs privacy aspects of development and deployment of our consumer and enterprise products and services, to which the Cortana Analytics is definitely one of those services. It informs Microsoft employees and vendors about how to develop products and services with users' privacy in mind so that users are able to better understand and control the collection, storage, retention, and destruction, and use of that of their own data. How many of you in the data science space actually do classify your data? Does anyone classify their data? I only see a couple of hands. If you don't have a data classification program in your organization, you should probably go back to your organization and talk about it. So here at Microsoft, we have a very rigorous data classification program where we actually classify data into what we call low impact, medium impact, high impact data. And we believe that data segregation in a multi-tenant service is one of the key things you should be thinking about. It means that multiple customers' deployments and virtual machines in our environment can actually be stored on the same physical servers. Although you're isolated, you're still running on the same physical platform, right? You're in the same data center. And so Azure uses logical isolation to segregate each customer's data from that of others. And in some cases, you might need very heightened segregation because you're dealing with high impact data, right? Versus public data, which is very low impact. So as a data scientist, obviously that classification of data can be very helpful so that you can start out in a regime that might make sense to your organization. If I have very high impact data, I need a lot of control over that data. Right, I need to make sure that I can encrypt it and it's transiting the systems in a very secure fashion. Right, so I might start out with a virtualized environment where I can actually have more control over the capabilities versus just going to one of the Cortana Analytics services directly and using that for high impact data. Right, so having that data classification is one of the key components of a privacy by design approach to actually coming onto a cloud platform. This provides scale and economic benefits of multi-tenant services for us while rigorously preventing customers from accessing one another's data. When we talk about data and when you use Cortana Analytics, you're obviously using a lot of your own data. The belief is fundamental to the Microsoft approach that when you utilize Azure, you retain exclusive ownership of your own data. You have control over the data location. Our customers entrust your data to Microsoft, and you're not giving up control anytime soon, right? You're going to have access to tell us where you want that data to actually sit and be stored or to transit through our systems. And so for many customers, knowing and controlling the location of the data can be a very important element of their data privacy, compliance, and governance. We give customers the freedom to choose the geographic areas where data is stored. We don't necessarily give you control over the individual data center, but we did give you control over the geographic region. Data could be replicated within a selected geographic area for redundancy or resiliency by Microsoft, but we have a commitment where we will not transmit that data outside of that geographic region. We also have controls over access to the data. There's very strong authentication, including the use of multi-factor auth, which helps limit access to customer data to authorized personnel only. We have sample audits that are performed both by Microsoft and third parties to attest that access is only for appropriate business purposes and only when it's required. When access is granted, it's very carefully controlled and logged, and we revoke that access as soon as it's no longer needed. We have encryption key management available not only internally but also externally to customers to ensure control over encrypted data. You have the option to generate and manage your own encryption keys and determine who's authorized to use those. You can revoke Microsoft's copy of their encryption key, although it might limit our ability to troubleshoot or repair problems or security threats on your behalf. We also have control over data destruction. When customers delete data on the Azure platform, or if you just leave Azure, we follow very rigorous procedures to render previous customers' data inaccessible to storage resources before we reuse those resources. And we'll talk about some of our compliant approaches to actual deletion of data. So customers only use cloud solution providers for which they really have great trust. And you have to trust that the privacy of your own information will be protected and that your data will be used in a way that is consistent with your expectations. We build our privacy protections through that privacy by design program, which describes how we actually build and operate our services. There are some key aspects to that in terms of our data location, the data access, and the data protection which we employ. So not only can you specify the customer areas where your own data is stored, but Microsoft will definitely not transfer that data outside where you specify, except where it's necessary to provide support, troubleshoot, or comply with local legal requirements. So for example, if I'm an EU customer and I never want my data to leave the European Union, but you're working with an engineering team here in Redmond, we might come back to you and say, hey, you know what? We have to get your approval of your privacy team or you know whoever the administrator is to actually go ahead and work that support case because we need access to your data to do that. So there are areas of data location which you should have in mind as a data scientist, right? You know, some of the data might actually, if I'm located in Asia and I'm using Cortana Analytics services that are in the US, then obviously the data is flowing over the wire into our data centers here in the United States. Access to customer data is restricted by Microsoft personnel and granted only when necessary for support and then revoked right away, as I mentioned. You can also view access and usage reports. You have ability to actually look at audit reports and see who is accessing data. Those audit reports also apply to any Microsoft personnel who might be looking at your data. There are technical safeguards to help keep data secure. We give customers the flexibility to implement additional encryption and manage your own keys, as I mentioned. We'll talk about Azure Key Vault, and in fact, I'm going to demo it to you, which offers a very easy, cost-effective way to safeguard keys and other secrets using technology like hardware security modules. And so if you're doing anything with data warehousing or with Azure SQL Database or with HD Insight, for example, we have a very robust way to transparently encrypt and decrypt information if you actually bring the tooling into your applications. And so we'll talk a little bit about the Key Vault, what it does, as well as some of the crypto algorithms that are available to you. We talked about your control over data location. For many customers, knowing and controlling the location of that data can be very instrumental to where they're approaching cloud services. We talked about very robust capabilities around auditing and seeing when data access occurs. But we also follow strict standards for overwriting our storage resources and decommissioning hardware. So when we actually decommission hardware, Microsoft will replicate data locally within that geography, decommission the hardware, and bring it off. And when we bring it off, that hardware is actually, it goes through the same rigorous processes and controls to make sure your data doesn't sit on it. We actually provide customer support, troubleshooting, and complying with legal requirements for customers that need to access privacy statements or audit logs that they don't have access to. So you can actually create a support ticket and get access. I'll give you an example of that. Some of our customers have been using a lot of our Azure virtual networks, and as part of that virtual network, they've deployed their own intrusion detection service, but they actually want to see when traffic is leaving out to the internet, right? Well, it's not something that we provide as a capability right out of the gate, right? So you can actually create a ticket and let us know, hey, this is something I need for my privacy and compliance processes, and we'll work with you to get you what you need while you're operating on our cloud environment. It's a very strong commitment that we have to providing our customers with first-grade support for security, privacy, and compliance. You do have things like restricted data access, which we talked a little bit about, that's employed throughout all of the Cortana analytics services. But we also restrict data access and use and have role-based access control available. Customer data is only used to provide the service. It's never used for advertising or other nefarious purposes. If you really look at how we operate Microsoft Azure and the improvement of features that involve the detection of and protection against emerging threats, you'll see that access is very carefully controlled and logged. We have very strong authentication, including the use of multi-factor auth. I've said it many times that we limit employee access. But those contractual commitments that we bring to bear have a lot of effects on the controls that are in play for data access. And so who here is familiar with the Cloud Security Alliance? Anyone? If you're not familiar with the Cloud Security Alliance, the Cloud Security Alliance, you can look at it at cloudsecurityalliance.org, has what we call a STAR registry. And the STAR registry actually has a whole list of controls that Microsoft provides to our customers. And this comes up regularly as we're talking about data and control of the security of that data into what kind of controls Microsoft provides as a cloud provider for various services, including Cortana Analytics. So that information is published. It's available not only through our Trust Center and the STAR registry, but you can engage with our engineering teams directly to get the information that you need. I'm going to kind of skip through this slide in the interest of time, because I do want to get to a couple other key principles in the demo. We talked about data access in detail, and data protection is very important, not only data segregation, but in-transit data protection. How do I know that my data is actually safe when it's going from one data center to another in a geography, and I don't have control over it, for example? Well, Azure, since it's multi-tenant, meaning that we have a lot of deployments that involve all kinds of organizations, we use the logical isolation to segregate all of your data from each other. When we actually transit the data from one area of segregation to another, if it's within a data center, it's relatively easy for us because we have control over it. But if it's going across data center, or if it's going over the wire where it could be intercepted, then we do go ahead and we use encryption of data that's in storage and at rest in any kind of externalized system where it flows over the wire. We align with best practices for ensuring the confidentiality and integrity of that data. It's straightforward for you to use things like SSL, but how do you know that your cloud provider is using SSL when it's transiting data? Well, we actually provide those assurances to you. When it's out of country storage for security or disaster recovery purposes, you can opt in for in-country storage for compliance purposes and not fail over if you need to. When you create your storage account, for example, if you're putting data into a storage account, which will be presented to Azure ML or to Stream Analytics or some other service that's in Cortana Analytics, you'll see that you have the capability to choose different replication options. There's a locally redundant storage, there's a geo-redundant storage, and there's a zone-redundant storage. So in locally redundant storage, we maintain three copies of your data. It's replicated within a single facility in a single region. That what we call LRS, or locally redundant storage, protects your data from normal hardware failures, but not from failure of that single facility. Zone redundant storage, or ZRS, actually maintains the same three copies of your data, and it's replicated three times across two to three facilities, either within a single region or across two regions. And that provides higher durability than locally redundant storage. It ensures that your data is durable within the actual region itself, that single region. Geo-redundant storage, as you could imagine, is enabled for your storage by default, and it actually maintains 6 copies of your data. With GRS, your data is replicated 3 times within a primary region, but it's also replicated 3 times in a secondary region, hundreds of miles away from the primary, providing the highest level of durability in cloud services today. In the event of a failure of the primary region, your storage will fail over to the secondary region. So this is important because you guys are using a lot of the Cortana Analytics capabilities which are provided to you as a service. And as a backplane of most of those services, they actually operate on geo-redundant storage by default, unless you're specifically requesting to opt out of that. So if you needed to keep data within a specific region, obviously letting us know or controlling that where you have the ability to control it is very critical to your success in terms of satisfying your compliance mandates. Skip ahead. We talked about storage isolation. We have a lot of storage capability in what we call blob and table storage, as well as queue storage, which is sitting on the Azure infrastructure. And that storage has primary storage keys. We call it a primary and secondary storage key that gives you access to all of the containers which sit in that storage account. But you do have the ability to do things like shared access signatures, which generate keys and apply policy to those keys, which you can give. So I can create a container and give that container to a data scientist and know that that scientist could not access that data after a day or after 2 weeks, right? Because that policy is in place. The storage blocks are hashed by the hypervisor in separate accounts. And by doing that, that logical isolation segregates each of each customer's data from that of others, but it also provides a scale and economic benefits of multi-tenant services while rigorously preventing customers from accessing one another's data. So when you actually use a primary or secondary key, you're availing of that logical isolation, but you can heighten that by doing things like shared access signature keys. SQL database isolates separate databases using SQL accounts or SQL principles, right, in much the same way. But you also have logical isolation amongst those SQL databases, right? The actual, if you've actually taken a SQL database and your master database is next to you know, the regular database that you're using on a daily basis for your data queries, you'll quickly realize, oh, my master database is not really on the same physical server. It's actually sitting on some other physical server in the data center, but logically is presented to you as the same server, right? That gives us the ability to have higher performance and quicker throughput for a lot of the queries that happen on the platform. It's one of the benefits of operating in the cloud. When you get into data warehousing, those types of little finite details that you can tease out really show our commitment to security, privacy, and control through the way we've actually developed and deployed those services for your use. So the data can be accessible through claims management, identity management systems, and access control, leveraging storage keys as well. But you'd have to actually bring a lot of that capability to your own applications, right? And we actually give you guidance on how to do that in many cases. If you take a look at our Azure website, we have a whole slew of documentation and proven practices around how you can actually go ahead and manage a lot of the isolation and data access. We mentioned we encrypt in transit. The slide is erroneous in that it says it encrypts most communications. We encrypt all communications between our Azure data centers. We use HTTPS to encrypt transactions through our Azure portal, and we use FIPS 140-2 compliance standards in how we actually use our ciphers. So the customer can have a little bit of responsibility here because they can choose to use HTTPS for a REST API, for example, or you can choose not to. in many cases. You can configure HTTP endpoints for applications running in Azure, right? So if I'm actually provisioning an application in Azure that's going to make use of Cortana Analytics data services behind the scenes, if I'm HTTPS on my application, but I'm not making use of HTTPS to reach back into those Cortana Analytics services, I'm opening up a security hole, right? I want to make sure that I actually use the benefits of SSL and encrypting that communication over the wire as best as possible. So you can encrypt traffic between web clients and servers implementing TLS through IIS or through a Linux web server. You have that ability to do that on the Azure platform. For encryption at rest, Azure encrypts specific types of information at rest. When working with the Cortana Analytics Services, customers are responsible for ensuring that data stored in Azure is encrypted in accordance with their standards. We offer a wide range of encryption capabilities up to AES 256 standard, which gives customers the flexibility to choose a solution that best meets their needs. So for example, with virtual machines, I can encrypt data drives fully using full disk encryption that's available with BitLocker technology. I can leverage VMs from a partner to do things like secure boot for boot drives. I can leverage transparent data encryption in SQL Server. I can also use encrypted file system in Windows Server for files and folders. For storage accounts, I can use BitLocker encryptions of drives for importing and exporting my data. So if I'm exporting out of storage for backup or restore purposes, I can actually make sure that BitLocker encryption is used there. I can also make use of solutions like StorSimple, which presents a storage device to your applications, which backed by cloud storage, which has things like encryption capabilities that are capable of AES 256 ciphers. And I can use client-side encryption through the .NET Crypto APIs, and that's very robust. We have a rights management service and an SDK for file encryption by your applications. A lot of what happens through the RMS service, the rights management, is actually one of the critical components of our Key Vault. So I'm going a little bit over time here, and I want to be cognizant of that. We're almost to the end. I want to just jump into a demo at this point. I'm going to quickly show you. Hang on one second, because I need to. To kind of bring it over to the other monitor here and look behind my shoulder. So I'm going to just log into the Azure portal. And when I log into the Azure portal, you'll notice that I'm using my Microsoft.com ID. And it automatically knows, since I'm a member of that enterprise, that I'm subject to two-factor authentication. And I have to use a smart card to sign in. So I'm going to use a smart card that's available to my machine. And I'm going to log in. And so I'm now at the Azure portal. I might be using storage keys, for example. Oh, that's cute. The demo guards are not smiling upon me now. There it goes. So I might need to actually roll a primary or secondary key and revoke access. When you actually access a lot of your storage stores, you can actually access it using primary or secondary keys. So if I have a primary access and I want to revoke that primary key and revert to the secondary key, my applications should be aware of it. But that gives me the ability to roll keys in real time and keep my services highly available. So I can come into the Azure portal and pick one of my storage accounts. I'm going to pick the central storage account here. And when I actually look at my keys, which are under the settings of this storage account, I come in here to all settings, and I'm going to go to my keys, I can see my primary and secondary keys. And up here on the blade itself, on the very top, I can regenerate those keys. So if you'll notice, I know it's really hard to see, but my My secondary access key starts with, I believe it's 6LK92, right? It's a secret. I can actually go ahead and regenerate that secondary key. So as soon as I regenerated that secondary key, any application that was using that secondary key for access would no longer be able to access my storage. It's a complete regeneration of the access key. But I can also make use of storing that key in what we call Azure Key Vault, which gives us the capability to keep that encrypted. And to do that, I'm going to show you a little bit of PowerShell. I'm just going to bring it over here on my system. So Key Vault is a new technology that we have in Azure Active Directory, which allows you to actually keep encrypted keys and secrets that can be encrypted with a hardware security module. We can either provide the key for you, or through a virtualized private network connection, you can keep your own keys on premise. So Microsoft could never get access to all of your secrets and keys that are in the vault without having the actual primary key that the vault depends on. You can revoke that at any time. Using the Azure Key Vault, and I created a Key Vault, very quick PowerShell, and what I can do is I could take my primary key, so you're seeing that primary key here, and store it in the Key Vault as a secret. When I store that Key Vault secret, so I'm going to actually do it in real time. I just stored a secret in my Key Vault. It gave me back a RESTful endpoint. Do you guys see this? So at the very bottom here, it gave me this RESTful endpoint back, which is SSL encrypted, right? So it will encrypt over the wire. That endpoint has my primary storage key available to it. So my configuration files, assuming they have the correct access to the Key Vault, and they're in an application that's provisioned on Active Directory that has access to the Key Vault, can actually access this key information. This way, my key is not stored in configuration files, and I can easily roll those keys on a regular basis through Key Vault using things like an Azure Automation job. So this is one way that you'll see us bring to bear encryption at rest in a very robust fashion across all of the components throughout the data warehouse, throughout the Cortana Analytics suite itself, in many of the secrets and keys that we bring to the platform. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about compliance in more detail. In the interest of time, since I'm going over, I'm going to kind of stop short here and just take your questions for the next 5 minutes. I will be around after this, so if you have other questions you want to ask, feel free to. Anyone?
So a lot of products are not in GA yet, right? And this, like what we found out is a lack of functionality for direct integration. Like as an example, Active Link was equal to TW, they cannot be secured with Active Directory. Do you know?
So the question is, today a lot of the Cortana Analytics capabilities like Azure Data Lake and some of the other services don't have full access to Azure Active Directory. It absolutely will be on the roadmap for us to provide Azure Active Directory capabilities throughout all of our services. Some of those services are a little bit more mature in approaching that than others. There's a lot of ramifications to that because those services need to interact with other services behind the scenes. And so generally, each service owner for the engineering organization has a roadmap and a plan in place on how they're going to approach that. So it absolutely is one of the commitments of the Azure engineering team to provide ubiquitous access to Azure Active Directory as the enterprise store. We're handling over 4 billion authentications a day on AD as it is. So it's a huge market for us. Any other questions? In the back?
Hi. What kind of specific challenges do you see for the government agencies? Because we have a government cloud today, but only a restricted amount of Azure services, specifically around Cortana Analytics, are available today or will be in the near future. So have you seen some requests to leverage these services in the multi-tenant commercial data centers, for example, but keeping the data on their premise or putting it in the cloud?
Yeah, so the question is, a lot of the Cortana analytics capabilities are not available in government cloud or dedicated cloud offerings that Microsoft has today. Do we have the request for customers for that type of capability on those services? Absolutely. Financial, healthcare, you know, manufacturing, you can name off quite a bit. In time, I believe, just like all of the Azure services which have come onto the platform for customer use, we will be extending the capabilities out to various aspects of either our Azure stack on-premise or to the government clouds that are run as dedicated entities. They are also in various levels of maturity and different roadmaps. So, you know, it really comes to customer prioritization in terms of, you know, which are the most beneficial for your use. If everyone's going to Data Lake, then I can tell you we will likely prioritize it higher, right? If everyone's using Stream Analytics, then likely that will make its way out to government cloud and to some of the other areas that we operate in, like China. So next, you had another question?
Yeah, you talked a little bit about external key management for storage accounts. Yes. How do you do that?
So the question is around external key management for storage accounts. How do I do that? I actually can do the same approach here in using Key Vault because the Key Vault is available RESTfully. As long as the application has access to get a token from Azure AD, it can access it from outside, get the key directly through a REST API call, which is available externally, and then access the application. So you said that it's really using a key inside, it's like using a key inside your house. But the reality is your primary key can sit on your own premise externally and never transit to the Microsoft cloud ever. You can revoke access with one card pull off of a Thales device, right? And then we have access, no access, and also your apps have no access to anything. So it really is a very robust solution for key management. The recommended way for most of our Azure services for external management of keys and secrets is Key Vault, yes.
So I had a client that was curious going to Azure. They had the always on with SQL Server.
Yes.
Does that still make sense in an Azure environment to implement always on?
So the question is, does it make sense still to implement always on in an Azure environment? I believe so. A lot of our customers are using Always On for various scenarios. It really depends on what you're trying to achieve in terms of your RPO and RTO and approach to redundancy and resiliency. So in some scenarios, yes, it does make sense. It really depends also on your deployment footprint. So I wouldn't say I would discredit Always On today, no. So with that, I know I'm eating into your lunchtime. I will be around for quite some time. The slide deck and some of the slides I didn't get to will be available to you. There's only a few slides at the very end of the deck talking about some of our compliance, but we did cover quite a bit of that in detail. There is additional information on the Azure Trust Center around compliance as well. If you do have any questions, please feel free to reach out and contact me. All right, thank you.
Okay.